Not late because I wanted you to take your time to make this very good. Anna, my friend, she did an excellent job on hers. I want to post one of you because I don't think people are going to believe that you guys have only been in Hebrew class for 5 classes and you're writing Hebrew letters that well. So Mazel Tov, congratulations to all of you guys. Okay.
Pastor Sandy, the first 1 minute you were talking, there was no audio.
Okay.
Can you say it again? They didn't hear the first 1 minute.
Okay. The first part?
The first part, yes.
About the...
When you first started, they didn't hear it because there was no audio.
Okay. So when I talked about the...
The homework and how they did...
The homework? Okay. So if you guys didn't hear, the homework that everyone sent in was absolutely beautiful. A lot of you got 100%, and I really couldn't believe that because I was not this good starting off with my Hebrew. You guys writing these letters perfect. You wrote the prayer. I mean, some of them were 100%. I think the lowest grade, someone got maybe 95%, which is still an A, because 95 to 100 is an A in our school. And I think there were 97s and 98s, but everybody did an excellent job. I can't believe how incredible you guys are writing on the Hebrew letters in such a fast time. I was saying that I would like to post a couple of the homeworks on Facebook because I don't think they're going to believe.
Sherry wants to know, can she see can we see the results?
Can she see the results?
Yeah, they want to know, can we see our results?
Of the homework?
Yes.
Can I send it back to her?
Tell her to tell you. She
yeah, I sent it back to her. I sent it back to you with the grade. So you know if you got 100%. And if you had a letter that you needed to correct or something, I did let you know that as well. Like you need to correct this letter or that letter.
Sherry said you didn't send hers back.
Okay, then, I'll have to grade it and look at it, but... It's very nice. Continue here. We want to open up with prayer. And I love to open up with the Lord's Prayer because He explained to us this is how He wants us to pray. Okay? The Lord's Prayer starts off with the word in Hebrew, Our Father, which is Avanu. And you guys know Shabbat Shabbaim means who art in heaven, right? That is in heaven. Okay, so let's say the prayer. I hope you guys are practicing saying this at home as well. Okay, Avanu Shabbat Shabbayim Yikadesh Yocha. Tavo Mechutete Yaseh Otsaraka. Be'aret Ke Asher Ne'asa B'Shamayim. Telanu Hayom Lechum Ukenu. Uselak Lanu Et Ash Mekenu. Ke Asher Solechem Anachnu Le'asher Ash Melanu. ויאל תביאנו לידי מסע, חיים הצילנו מן הרע, כי לך הממלכה והגבורה והתפארת לעולמי לעולמים. אמן. Okay, well let's get started with today's class. First of all, there's words I need you to add to your list of vocabulary because this will be part of your test and I don't want to leave it out. Okay. Ani Yechol is I can, okay? Yechola, if you're a female. Ani Yechol, I can. Now, I wish my mom was, she's in heaven, so I'm glad she's in heaven, but she used to always say, no, it's no in every language. Well, it's not, mom. Lo is no in Hebrew, okay? So, Ani Lo Yechol means I cannot. Okay, I can't walk that far by foot. You want to say and then you have here ane rotse. Write this down because I didn't write it down. It means I want. So write ane rotse. What do you want? I want. Something we mashu de call and they wrote say mashu le extort something to drink. So and they wrote say now somebody's trying to hand you something you don't want, say you don't drink beer, I'm a Christian, they're trying to hand you one, ane lo rotse. Okay? Ane lo shita bira or yin or alcohol or whatever. Okay, so I want ane rotse. I don't want ane lo rotse. Okay. Now remember, we are in Bet's affair. What's Bet's affair? What is Bet in Hebrew? House. Sefer is book. Okay? So the word for school in Hebrew is Bet Sefer, the house of books, or the house of books. Okay? So Bet Sefer is what you're in right now, which is school. So write that down. You're in Ibrit Bet Sefer. Okay? Okay? Now, you say that you have something. Money, or you say yes, or you're asking somebody, this is yes lach to a female, do you have, okay? Yes is, do you have, now how do you ask a sentence in Hebrew? You can say yes lach, or you just change the tone of the way you say it. Yes lacha, or yes lach kesef, do you have money? Yes lacha for a man, yes lacha kesef, do you have money? Female, yes la, do you have? Female, yes lecha, I mean, we go backwards. Oh no, we wrote it right. I am good. Okay, yes la, female, male, okay? So, yes lecha, male, yes la, female, do you have? That's what it means. Do you have? You want to know if they have hamburgers, because you don't want to eat falafel for 5 days in a row. So, yes lach, hamburger, yes lach, hamburger. Now, if you say, if you don't have something, the word is einli, I don't have, okay? Einli kesef, I don't have money. Einli maspik, maspik means enough, so I don't have enough. I tell you, you want to give me a discount? That's what I would ask if I was in Israel. Okay? But I would say, if Shah, like, may I have? I would be polite. But I tell you, right? Now, so I don't have enough. I need my speak. Okay? My speak. See this word? I wrote it like this so you can know how to pronounce it. So it says ma, but look at this word right here. It's speak, okay? I need my speak. I need my speak what? I need my speak kesef. I don't have enough money. You know, I tell you a code, you have some beer, can you loan me some? Can I borrow some? Okay? So these are the words for this week. Remember, all the words that I'm giving you, you can take those words and form your own sentences. And that's what we're doing here. So you'll be able to form smaller sentences. Can you? We use the word take, lekach. Okay? Can you take me to Malatufa, the airport? You know. So I'm giving you words that you can ask and say normal everyday things that you would say if you were in Israel, okay? Come say ole, how much does that cost? We did that in previous. So anyway, these are the words for today that I want you to learn. So go back and look at them, take a picture of them. They will be on your test shortly. Okay.
Pastor Sandy, I have a question from Beverly. She wants to know, why is it in the prayer you say Abi and not Abba?
Abba?
Why is it not Abba?
This is why.
Why is it Abi?
Okay, watch me do the, I'm going to do the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Bet, Zet, Aleph, Bet, Zet, Gimel, Aleph, now, why in the beginning I say Aleph, Bet, Zet? Why do I say Bet, Zet? When they say they're because they know that this is a B, okay? This is a V. If it don't have a Degesh. So now I put that Degesh in there, that's a B. If I take it out, that's a V. Okay? Then this would be vet. If I take, but now I say, oh, I want to say vet. Because this person is only used to reading with the digeshes. So you say, all right. Now see, when you get more advanced in your Hebrew, you know that there's no such thing as vet, vet's affair. So you would know automatically that's a vet, okay? So as you get more familiar. But that's why I say avanu, because in the word our father, avanu, now you say abba, and that's daddy, okay? Ab, father. But when you say avanu, you have to take off the digesh, because it's pronounced avanu, okay? So, because you're learning all your digeshes and your nehuds, right? It's a simple language. Okay, are we ready? I want us to continue to learn the scripture and to learn Hebrew culture. Because as long as you know the culture, you're going to understand the scriptures. Okay? We're talking today about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the time of the trumpet. Oh my goodness, this is when the church is going to be raptured. Maybe. But I don't think so. Okay? So, I want to explain to you Rosh Hashanah, the culture of the Hebrews, why we began to believe that Rosh Hashanah is the church's rapture. Okay? Why it's possible it could not be. Now, could it be? God can do whatever he wants. God says, hey, you know what? I want to rapture the church on Rosh Hashanah. And I want, now I know the Jewish rapture at the end of the tribulation, 10 days before Yom Kippur, is going to be on Rosh Hashanah. Because they're going to fulfill the rest of the feast days. Okay? But we do not know, rather the church is going to be raptured on Rosh Hashanah. Because that day is a day that no one knows. Okay? And it's a dual, I'll explain to you as we go. Because I'm going to erase the board because there's some things I have to write up here because I want you to know, okay? And, of course, I always need my trusty eraser at home. No, I got a towel.
Not that towel.
Why not?
Not that one.
Okay. Here, toss it over. All right, I'm erasing this. If you didn't write it, go back and look at it later and make sure you write all of this down. Because I can't write it again. All right. Now, I want us to be Hebrew students. We're not just students of the language. We're students of the culture. We're students of the scriptures. We want to know what we're talking about when we're speaking about the Word of God. Because this is what God said. You learn Hebrew, and I'll teach you the Bible. And you know what I thought? Oh, I'm going to learn how to look up words in Hebrew. No, that's not what I'm telling you. I want you to learn how to Karei Ivri, Kotev Ivri, Ledeber Ivri. I want you to learn how to speak Hebrew, to read Hebrew, and to write Hebrew. And then I thought, okay, oh, I want you to learn the Tarbut, I want you to know the culture, and the Masoret, the traditions of the Hebrew. So that you're going to know me. You're going to know me much better if you know my culture, you know my traditions, you know my language, you know how to write it, you know everything. You're going to know why I wrote what I wrote, okay? That's what we're doing. Not just learning to speak, read, and write Hebrew, but we're learning the full gamut, as if you're going to become Jewish in your mind and in your thought, so you can understand what God is thinking when he writes the scripture. Okay, now, Passover. I'm going to erase this, so I'm just writing it down so you get a basis of what we're trying to talk about today. Passover happens on the 14th of Nisan. First fruit
And unleavened bread, okay, we'll do that, happens the next day, right? Okay, so then we'll start counting the 50 days. Okay, so now it's on the 15th. Now, on that day, on the day after the Sabbath, they're going to start counting 50 days, okay? 15th of Nisan. And now, they're going to start counting 50 days. Why are they going to count 50 days? Because now, Omer means they're going to count the Omer. We're going to count the Omer for 50 days. What happened at the end of the count of the Omer? What does Omer mean? First of, right? So, now we're going to count 50 days to where? Pentecost. If I misspell it, I might get A. Just let me know later. But, okay. Now, we say, okay, so we count 50 days to Pentecost. So let's say we go Passover, first fruit, the day after Shabbat, I'm going to count 50 days. When Jesus comes and he fulfills these first three mohadim, when he comes and he fulfills these first mohadim, this one, the first one takes what? 1 or 2 days, right? So you got maybe 2 days here that this is going to take. To get from here all the way to Pentecost is going to take me, let's say, 50 more days, right? So at the most, you're looking at from Passover to Pentecost, about 52 days.
Linda wants to know, does Omer means 50?
No, Omer does not mean 50. Omer means the first of. Because the first fruit, after first fruit, we're going to, now he's the first of. The first of what? The first fruit is the first of everyone that's going to come out of the ground. Or the first fruit of the harvest, right? So the first fruit is going to be here. Then now we're going to count the Omer, meaning the first of, right after the first fruit. We're going to count 50 days. After we count 50 days, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. And what happened on Pentecost? Wedding. Israel married God at the base of the mountain on the 50th day. He gave them the 10 commandments. And so now, at the end of the 50th, so to fulfill these days, we'll say it's Passover, first fruit, then Pentecost. Okay? The whole thing we'll say it takes about 50 days. Okay? Now, let's look at this. Okay, now what we're going to talk about today is, you know what, I'm going to leave that up there. Let's say this. I want to talk to you first. Let's talk for a second. Listen to this. Now watch this. What if Jesus had came on the 14th of Nisan and died on the cross? But he didn't resurrect from the grave till, let's see, 15 days later. Or he didn't come from the grave until a year later. That wouldn't work. Why? It doesn't fulfill the feast days and it messes up all the prophecies, right? Now, let's see, the Feast of First Fruit happens, but they don't count 50 days. They say, let's wait for 50 years before we have Pentecost. Then the church is not going to start for a long time. You understand? And God's not going to, and this marriage isn't going to happen for a long time. Okay? So I can't just say, okay, this will happen 10 years after that. It has to be the way God structured it. 14th of Nisan, 15th of Nisan, let's count 50 days of Omer, and then we're going to come to Pentecost. Okay? We may be a day off there, but we're talking about no more than 52, 53 days. Okay? Now, here we go. We We're talking about today fulfilling the last three feasts. Okay? Rosh. Okay, let's see. No, let's go. Okay. Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Okay. We're gonna run the road. We're gonna go like Rosh. Because that means the head. Okay? Head of the year, Rosh Hashanah, okay? So now, Rosh Hashanah happens when? On the first day of Tishri. Okay? So Rosh Hashanah is going to happen on the first day of Tishri. Now, that doesn't look like Tishri. Okay? Okay, so that happens, Rosh Hashanah happens on the first day of Tishri. Now, Rosh Hashanah is also called the Feast of Trumpets, okay? Because what's going to happen on the first? They're going to wait for the new moon because they're not going to blow the final trumpet until they see the new moon, okay? So they're waiting on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah trumpet blows. And now the great gadol trumpet glows, and now we start the new month, and that's Rosh Hashanah. This is supposed to be called a wedding day as well. This is also called a wedding day. Okay, after Rosh Hashanah, what comes next? If you guys studied your booklets, Yom Kippur. This is the day of covering. This is the day God is going to cover, or some people call it the Day of Atonement. This is the day all your sins are atoned for. This is the day of your covering. When does this happen? 10 days later. 10th of Tishri. Okay? Okay, 10th of Tishri. So how many days is that apart? 10 days. That's all you have. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is going to be 10 days, okay? What happens after Yom Kippur? Tabernacles. Okay, now when does Tabernacles happen? The 15th of Tishri, okay? Okay, so this whole fulfillment of these last three feasts should only take how many days? 15 days. Okay? If you have a rapture here and this is supposed to start the tribulation, how long does the tribulation last? 7 years. So you mean when God fulfills the last three feasts, he's going to go. Rosh Hashanah, then he's going to wait 7 years before he fulfills Yom Kippur, because this is when Jesus returns to the earth on Yom Kippur. He would have to wait 7 years if it goes in the way we're thinking, because we're thinking Rosh Hashanah rapture. Now we're going to wait, once we get raptured, we're going to wait 7 years, then Jesus is going to return. And then we're going to be, then 5 days later, we're going to have the Feast of Tabernacle. We're going to celebrate, and Christ will be tabernacling amongst us. And that's how we're going to fulfill. It can't happen this way because the first feast happened in what? Took about 53 days. The second feast happens in about 15 days. Okay? So, this is why I say, Rosh Hashanah is not and has never been the prophecy of a church rapture. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. If you believe that, it could happen that way. Maybe God will rapture both the church and the nation of Israel and the tribulation saints on Rosh Hashanah, and then 10 days later, he'll return after the 10 days of awe, And then 5 days later, he'll tabernacle and we'll have the Feast of Tabernacles. Maybe it'll happen that way, but I'm thinking he's going to fulfill the first. The way he fulfilled the first is the same way he's going to fulfill the second, because they've been doing what? They've been having a convocation. What does convocation mean? Mikra. And what does mikra mean? We're going to have a dress rehearsal. So now, if you're telling me we're going to dress rehearsal now, we can't dress rehearsal 1 day, 10 days, 15 days, and then when the real thing happens, goes for 1 day, 7 years, then 5 days. It just doesn't matter. Okay. Now, so let's read about Rosh Hashanah, because there's some great things that you can learn about it, and you can find out what is the last trumpet, because this is all going to happen at the last trumpet. So what is the last trumpet? Here we go. Are you guys with me in your book? Here's your book. Page 27, right there. Can you see that, Pastor Ben?
Got it.
I want you to see that, because we're going to be reading right from the book today. And we may have one more scripture in Corinthians. Okay, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpet, the fifth of the, now we all say there's seven appointed times. There's actually an eighth, and it's called Shmini Atzeret. And that's the great celebration, okay? Okay. Now, here's the question I ask. Is the Lord the same yesterday, today, and forever? And we should say yes, because the scripture says, I'm a Yahweh Lo Shaniti. I am God, I do not change. He fulfilled the first three feasts in the proper order. He's going to fulfill the second feast in the proper order, okay? Do you believe in divine appointments? Yes, we believe in the Mohadim. Okay, we need to realize the Lord fulfilled the spring feast not only to the day, but to the very hour. Dying as the Passover lamb on the Feast of Passover, not on the day before or the day after. He was crucified at the time of the morning sacrifice. And he died at the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, understand what he just said here, or what we're saying here. In the morning, they would bind the lamb to the altar. But they weren't allowed to kill the lamb until twilight. So when Jesus came, in the morning, they bound him to the cross, the morning sacrifice. But he didn't die until twilight. So Jesus not only prophesied his death, but the exact time of his death. So you had to know exactly that he fulfilled it. He did this, so when it happens, you'll see he had already pre-planned it, even back when they left Egypt, okay? Now, it says here, in the grave, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he rose on the Feast of First Fruit. The Feast of First Fruit was the feast the Jews had been celebrating for over 1,000 years, okay? Okay, it was on this very day after that, the Feast of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, right? And had been celebrated for over 1,000 years before the book of Acts was written. Okay? So they practiced Pentecost for 1,000 years before Pentecost got there. They practiced Passover 1,000 years. Every year for 1,000 years on Passover, they would take a lamb in the morning, bind him to the altar, and in the evening they would kill the lamb. Every year for 1,000 years. Okay? After that, they would then begin to count 50 days, and on Passover, they would go and celebrate the Feast of Shavuot at Pentecost. They would celebrate Pentecost 50 days later and commemorate this marriage between the Ten Commandments and them accepting Christ. Okay, accepting God's proposal. Okay. Now, we all know about the convocation, meaning it's a dress rehearsal, and we know that they've been practicing. Now listen, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24. Chapter 23, verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, on the seventh month, in the first day of the month,
Shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation? So he's now for 1,000 years, when Rosh Hashanah comes, they're looking for the new moon. Why? Because that's when the new month is going to start. Because they got to blow the trumpet. Okay? They're going to blow the trumpet. But they're not just going to blow one trumpet. You got to understand, because we want to understand the culture. They're going to blow 99 trumpets. First, the last of the 99 will be the 100th trumpet, which is called the great trumpet, or the shofar gadol. Okay? Now, where it says Yeshua will now fulfill the fall feast. The purpose of this is not to set a timing for the pre-tribulation rapture. Okay? This is planning the divinely pre-appointed day, so as the good servant, you will know when to be watching to see if what happens, and that and just so that you can see that it is a dress rehearsal. Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, but at that time and that season, brethren, you have no need that I write you. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should take you as a thief. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Okay? Thessalonians is talking to Christians. He's letting us know to keep watching, keep your eyes open, because Jesus said something to the Gentile church. You do not know the day or the hour that I am going to come. Okay? But he says, but he also ridiculed the Hebrews for not knowing the time and the season they were in. So the command to watch is just what it is. It is a command to watch. That's why not many churches are watching, because they're in disobedience. And that's why a lot of people are like going to the internet to try to find good Bible teaching, because they say, you know what, when I go to church, I don't give good Bible teaching. I don't know, we talk about fluffy stuff and then we all go home. But I'm not learning. So your spirit inside of you is still hungry. So it's like, okay, I've got to find a way where I can learn more of the Word of God, because your spirit is still hungry, okay? It's like leaving a restaurant and they gave you like 3 peanuts, right? And a sip of Coke. And you go, this restaurant is just not working for me, right? I got to find some more food. And that's why you got so many people, even myself, I was looking like, I know there's more to the Bible than this. Okay? So here we go. Thessalonians is telling us, be ready, because a trumpet is going to blow. Okay? Now, let's go to page 28. At the top of this page, it looks like this. And at the top of the page, it says, being ready for this day is very important. I'm going to talk to you about making a duality prophecy at the same time. Because sometimes Jesus is warning us to be ready for the rapture. And he's not warning us to be ready for Rosh Hashanah. He's warning us to be ready for a day that you don't know. Okay? So he's warning us to be ready for a rapture, okay? So he's saying, be ready, for this day is very important. What? The day of the trumpet blast. Are we looking for the Rosh Hashanah trumpet blast? Because we read last week that on Pentecost, before Jesus came down to the mountain, there was a long trumpet blast, okay? There was a long trumpet blast. Then God descended down on the mountain on Pentecost, and then a marriage took place. But there was a trumpet blast on Pentecost. That means Rosh Hashanah is not the only trumpet blast. Okay? When in the book of Acts, it says, and suddenly became a loud sound, like a roar. Okay? Now, the sound teruah, it's like this loud blast of sound, and then everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. But before anyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, first came a loud sound
from heaven, okay? And then this teruah blasted, and then all of the people were filled with the Holy Spirit. So the same thing happened on 50 days after for Israel and for us. So we're looking for a trumpet blast, but we're not looking for the Rosh Hashanah trumpet blast unless God decides that he wants to rapture both the church and Israel and the tribulation saints on Rosh Hashanah. But we know that one happens 7 years before the other. So the fulfillment of it is always going to be the tribulation saints and Israel, because we know 10 days later he's going to return. 5 days later it's going to be the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? Now, here we go. Second chapter here. It says, here it is. It says, being ready for this day is very important. Jesus is coming. He only comes as a thief to a dead church. Okay? Remember that. Revelation chapter 1. He's going to come to as a thief, but only if the church is dead or asleep. Okay? He's going to come as a thief to those who are lukewarm. Okay? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, 17. And he's going to come to a thief to the evil servant, because in Revelation chapter 24, verse 48, there's a servant, and he decides that he's not going to do what the Lord told him before he left. And he starts beating the servants and everything, and he returned at a time that he did not know, and he received many stripes. Okay? Now, and it says the thief will come also to the foolish virgin. Okay? Because the foolish virgin is not prepared when he comes. Okay? So, after that, it says, the Feast of Trumpet is also known as Yom Teruah. Literally means the day of blowing. This is the only feast when the shofar is blown during the service 100 times. They are blown in a set of three different sounds, blown three times, each for a total of 9 blasts. The series of pattern is repeated 11 times for a total of 99 trumpet blasts. The 100th blast is set apart, and this is the blast that is known as the last trump. Okay? So, when we get to Corinthians and he says, you will be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, we as church, we said, see, that's talking about the rapture. No, that's talking about the rapture resurrection that happens at the last 10 days before he returns on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? The last trump. So, then where is the, because we're promised the rapture too in Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, you know the time and the season. You know it's the 70th year of Israel, of the fig tree's rebirth. We know we're supposed to be watching, right? And we know that there's going to be a trumpet blast, because whenever there's a marriage, it starts with a trumpet blast, okay? So we're going to hear a trumpet blast, and we know that, well, we don't want to get too deep. Okay, so let's continue. Okay. That, did we read? Okay, so Leviticus chapter 23. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of trumpets, the holy convocation. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an angel, with the trump of God. Does that say the last trump of God? With the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So, it does not say at the last trump, but there will be a trumpet when we go. Okay? And we're supposed to be ready for that day. Let's continue. Psalms 47 verse 5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Remember Acts?
First, there was a loud sound, and then the tongues of fire came. It said, the Hebrew word for shout is teruah, and the word trumpet is shofar. This is not a man-made trumpet or its sound. So this trumpet sound is coming from where? Who's blowing the trumpet? Christ. Remember Moses? He has these two silver trumpets. Okay? And he says, when it's time to take the camp out and to move the people, Moses is going to blow this trumpet. Okay? So remember, Jesus is going to blow this trumpet, and when it's our time to leave, okay? Let's see if I want to read. Oh, yeah, let's read this. Psalms 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. So if you hear that sound and you know it's time to go, blessed are you. Here the Hebrew word sound is teruah. Acts chapter 1, there was a great sound in Pentecost, okay? Which is why we want to hear and be able to discern the sound of the shofar of the Yom Teruah. Okay? Now, it says it's going to lekach, take, means paralambano, which I'm going to take you as a friend. Okay? In Hebrew, it's lekach, and in Hebrew, in Greek, it's paralambano. Both words means to forcibly grab and to take, okay? As a friend or a companion, okay? Ooh, I love this. Now listen to this in John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, who's talking? Jesus. I will come again and receive you. What is the word receive? Paralambano. So it says, if I go and prepare a place for you, he's telling us I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He said, I will, paralambano, take you up forcibly to myself where I am. There you may be also, right? So Jesus has promised us that he's going to come back and take us to be where he is, which is heaven. Okay? Matthew 24:44. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, but he uses the Greek word again, paralambano, taken as a friend or a companion, and the other one will be left. Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God lekached him. Same word in Hebrew, paralambano, lekach, to take him by force. Okay? So we want to make sure we see that. Watch Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Here's the very important verses. It happens at the fourth. What's the fourth word of the Hebrew alphabet, students? Somebody tell me, what's the fourth word of the Hebrew alphabet? All right. You could get extra credit for that. Here we go. You guys passed.
Nicole said delete.
Delete. What does delete mean?
Kim said delete.
Delete. What does it mean?
Peggy said delete.
What does it mean in English?
Nicole said door.
All right.
Sherry said door. MT said door.
So now we know. Here we go. It says, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. After this, John is there. He's in the flesh. He's on earth. And here he goes. He says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. And said, wow, it was like a trumpet. Listen to what the trumpet said. Come up here. And it says, I will show you what must take place after this. Immediately, John says, I was in the spirit. So he's no longer in his flesh. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one who sat on the throne, now he's in heaven, and he's looking at a throne. He's in the flesh. A door opens in heaven, a trumpet blasts, and the blast says, come up here. He says, immediately, I wasn't in the flesh, I'm in the spirit, and I'm standing in heaven before the throne.
same thing, right? We just saw a rapture. The incredible thing is now you don't hear anything else about the church until Revelation 19. Okay? I'm going to read this in Zephaniah. It says, the Lord wants to hide you. It says, Zephaniah says, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness and meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So, God wants to hide us. He's going to take us. And remember Isaiah, I think 26:20 says, come, my people, go into your home. Hide yourself until my wrath has been completed. So us leaving is to keep us from wrath. Isaiah 57:1-2, right? Says, and the righteous disappear. If you read it in Hebrew, the righteous evolve. And no one ponders in his heart, you know? Like, what is going on? No one, it says, but they don't understand that the righteous have disappeared in order to keep them from the evil that is about to come upon the earth, right? So, the whole scripture is telling you about the same thing. There will be a rapture. When will it happen? We don't know. But we do know the season, okay? Now, go over to page 29, the next page over. And we're going to skip Psalms 27:5, and we're going to skip Luke 21:36, because it says, watch therefore that you pray that you will be able to escape all these things. So we're watching and praying. We're keeping our commandment, right? We're not, you know, we're not being like a fluffy cake and coffee in the morning and God love you all church. We've got to be like, we're warning you, walk in Christ. Keep your oil lit because we want you to know that a time is coming where the door is going to open, okay? So it says, watch therefore and pray always, okay? So we're warning people, keep praying, keep watching. Always, always, always. Well, what if the rapture don't happen in 2017? Watch and pray always, 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 right? Mm-hmm. That you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we don't stop watching. We keep watching. We said, oops, it wasn't yesterday, and I told all my friends the rapture was going to happen yesterday, so I'm not going to watch anymore.
Ooh.
You're telling God you're not going to watch anymore? That's going against commandment. Because he's telling you to watch always and pray always, right? Now, coronation day. Listen to this, the ceremony of a Jewish king, okay? So this Rosh Hashanah is going to be given the decree, a ceremony is taken at the throne, the acclamation of the king. So when we get to heaven, we're going to have a coronation ceremony, okay? Four, it says subject to pledge and allegiance. So we're going to make an allegiance to Jesus Christ that he is our king on Rosh Hashanah. Let's see, where do I want to go with this? 7 years of trouble. Oh. Okay, let's read where it says 7 years of trouble, okay, is coming to the nation of Israel.
50 minutes, Pastor.
Huh?
You're in 50 minutes.
50 minutes?
You're in 50 minutes.
Okay. So we got about 10 minutes left? Okay, good. Okay, so now we know 7 years of trouble is coming because it says 7 years is called Daniel's, it's called Jacob's trouble. So Jacob is going to have 7 years of trouble. Okay? Jacob's trouble.
Who's Jacob, Pastor?
Jacob just happens to have 2 7 years that were appointed to him. One was that he had to work 7 years for his bride, but he did not get the bride that he was wanting. So he had to work an additional 7 years to get the second bride. That second years of work to get the second bride, which is Israel, is what you call the time of Jacob's trouble, the nation of Israel. Okay? Now, understand this. It lasts for 7 years, okay? There is no such thing as a 3.5 year celebration for a wedding. A 3.5 day celebration for a wedding. If you celebrate for 3.5 days, then your wife, then your bride got cheated. Because in the Jewish culture, you're gonna get married, you're gonna celebrate for 7 days. We're gonna get married and we're gonna be gone for the whole time of Jacob's trouble. Why? Why do you say it's a day, but then we're talking about 7 years? Remember when God punished him? He said, in Ezekiel chapter 4, he said, it'll be a day for a year. It'll be a day for a year. Okay? That's what he told him. Ezekiel told him. Lay on your side for 390 days. Each day is representing in the year. So now they're going to get their 7 years back, but each day represents a year. So their 7 years will be our 7 days. And we'll be in heaven, and we'll be celebrating, and we'll be on our honeymoon, but they will be going through Jacob's last 7 years that God promised them, 7 years that have not been fulfilled. And it's about to be fulfilled. But it can't until we get out of here. Okay? Now, don't pour day of covering. Let's see where I'm at. Let's go. Let's make a connection. Ooh, this is a long one. Okay, here you guys. Here's your great homework. Okay, you've got to finish reading Rosh Hashanah all the way till you get to Feast of Tabernacles, which is on page 34. So your homework assignment is to read from page 29 to page 34. Do not read the Feast of, you don't have to read that far. Did we finish Rosh Hashanah? Did we get to Yom Kippur? We did get to Yom Kippur. Ah, we did finish Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So, since we only have 10 minutes left, let's talk about Rosh Hashanah.
And 7 minutes.
7 minutes? All right. Here we go. Rosh Hashanah. It's a beautiful time. Okay. Now, oh my goodness. Next week we're going to talk about Yom Kippur. But now that we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, I want us to go to Revelation chapter 14.
Did you clarify the homework?
Yes, the homework. Oh, because, this is your homework. I'll give you your homework in a minute. Here it is. Okay, I want you to listen to this last thing on Rosh Hashanah. Because the book of Revelation is going to finish up Rosh Hashanah. Watch this. We're in Revelation chapter 14. Okay? And this will be part of your homework as well. I want you to read Revelation chapter 14. Okay? When Jesus comes for us, is he coming down to a cloud? Yes. Okay? Will a trumpet blast? Yes. Okay? So, will he take us up to be with him? Yes. That means he's going to harvest the world. Is that the last harvest? Is the church the last harvest of the world? No. Who's the last harvest? The tribulation saints in Israel. Do you know that the numerical gematria for Israel is 541? And the numerical gematria for the fruit in Greek is 541. So the fruit is Israel. See, because this is how God keeps you on point. So you'll know what I'm talking about when I get to the New Testament. So when you said read the fruit in Greek, the numerical value of it is 541, and the numerical value for Israel is 5. So God is letting you know Israel is the fruit harvest. The church is the wheat harvest. You understand? So once the wheat harvest goes, Christ is coming back for one more harvest, and that is the fruit harvest. That fruit harvest will happen in Revelation chapter 14, which he will come with a sickle to cut the fruit off of the vine that he wants that is perfect. And then he'll take the fruit, okay? And that's going to be the last of it. Now, after he takes the fruit harvest, you're going to see the judgment of God is going to begin, because now he's going to take the rest of that fruit and throw it into a wine press, and there's going to be wrath. And then he's going to get on his horse and come back with the rest of the saints to the earth, And then that will be the end, and he will set up tabernacle, and he'll tabernacle amongst us for 1,000 years, okay? And then that will be the Sabbath day of God. So we have reading to do this week. Revelation chapter 14, this is what I want you to read, okay? So you can see this harvest that is going to happen at the end of the tribulation. And the other homework is this.
Are they going to write a synopsis on the chapters, or?
No, I don't want you to write a synopsis on the chapter. What I do want you to do is this. All of the words that we have talked about in Hebrew that I've taught you, rather, Ani Rotze, I want you to write all of those words that I've taught you and put them on one page. Because out of that page, for our test, we're gonna take words off that page and form sentences, okay? And this is how we're gonna learn how to speak Hebrew. Because I'm teaching you, if you'll see, it's kind of like I'm doing wax on, wax off with you guys. You don't know what it's for. But when it comes time to fight, you're gonna know, okay? I'm teaching you how to say, I have, I don't have, okay? I want to buy, I need low roots in it. You learn, F-O, how shall the team, where is the bathroom? Or you can say, F-O, how misada, where's a tov misada, where's a good restaurant, okay? I'm teaching you these words so because you can take all of these words and form sentences. And then once you learn all the basic sentences in Hebrew, you can be in Israel and be able to say what you want throughout the day, okay? And not have somebody say, hey, could you go and tell them, oh, I don't speak English. I want to buy that, but I don't know how to say I want to buy that. I want to say how much is that, but I don't know how to say it. I want to go to a nice restaurant, but I don't know how to tell the cab driver that I want to go to a nice restaurant, okay? But when we finish writing all of our words and putting them on one page, then we're going to begin to take all of those words and we're going to form sentences. And then that's how you're going to learn how to speak day-to-day Hebrew. Okay?
Shulamite 55 want to know, the homework they're turning in, is it in Hebrew or is it in English?
Which homework?
Whatever homework that you're assigning them tonight.
No, just write the words the same way I wrote them on the board. Write them with English letters right now, okay? Write them with English letters right now. So the same way I wrote them, all the Hebrew words, the same way I wrote them with English letters, write them all and put them all on one page in English letters, okay? Because I wrote them that way so you know how to pronounce the word. Because even when I'm talking to my friends in Hebrew, I say, I don't want to talk about it, you know. And they say, okay, I say ane. But someone said, hey, it's not pronounced ane, it's pronounced ani. But like English, we go, what's up? It's not what's up, it's what's up. You know what I mean? So I was getting lazy, so she reminded me. So just understand, I want you to be able to pronounce the words. So write them with English letters, because I wrote them in a way that you can pronounce them, like my speak, which means enough. Yes, you might speak kesef. Do you have enough money? Ken. We know how to say ken is yes in Hebrew. Lo is no in Hebrew, okay? Ane rotze, ane yakol, ane lo yakol. Do you have? Yesh lecha, yesh lach, okay? Different words that you're gonna learn. Do you have? Can I have? I am, ane what? We're going to learn next week how to say I'm hungry and how to say I'm thirsty.
They want to know the information you had on the board earlier today. Do you want that?
I want that also on the page with the rest of all the other Hebrew words that you have learned. And write them and put them on one page so that I know that you did it. Okay? All right. That is your homework. Love you guys. Yeshua Ahava. And let's finish with our prayer. Are they still there?
Oh, go ahead. Finish with your prayer, Pastor.
Did we finish with our prayer? Did you give our prayer? Are they still? All right, here we go. Bless my people and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. I'm wondering why I can't see the words. I ain't 20. You ain't 20. Okay. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekeka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavileka v'efumeka. V'yasem Adonai panavileka v'yasem l'ka shalom. Shabbat shalom, or have a good weekend, and Shavua. So for Shavua, and I'll see you in the next class. All right? Now that was a class.
That was good.